Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Gordon?
I am now.
Cool. 3, 2, 1. JB, Phil, can you hear me?
I can.
Loud
and clear, Tim.
I can hear you, Tim.
This is like, I feel like a TMO now. Joe Bree, I have receiving audio signal from Manchester.
Yes, Tim, I can confirm you are receiving an audio signal from Manchester.
And I am relaying to you audio from London.
That's great, Tim. Cheers, mate.
All right, let's do this then. Hands in, pod on three. 1, 2, 3.
Pod.
This is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. We love the game of rugby. We don't take it or ourselves too seriously. I'm Tim. I am in London. That's true. That's JB.
Hello, Tim.
And he is in the rugby dungeon in Manchester with Phil.
Hello, Tim.
So I suppose we should just say, yeah, this is a technical experiment we're doing at the moment. I was forced to be in London, but we want to let the boys pod.
Indeed. And they want to hear us pod.
Well, absolutely.
More to the point.
So, here's hoping this works because, well, for one thing, I think then we can start attracting A-list guests.
Yeah, we can get our guests, which we used to have, back on the show.
Damn right. I'll just go through the logistics at this point. Of course, you are listening to us probably on Acast or on iTunes or some other RSS feed or whatever. Listen to us there. At Rugby Podcast, you can find us on Twitter and leave your reviews. If you enjoy the podcast and you can take 1 minute of your day to leave us a review and a comment on iTunes, then I could be reading yours like I'm going to read Carnegie Riches, who says, "This podcast is to me what Andy Goode is to a rugby team."
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How, what does that mean?
Yeah, I'm not sure. He sort of goes on to say, "I'm not entirely sure what it does, but somehow it makes me more likable and better."
Oh, good. At least we're all equally confused then.
Someone going by the name Not Miles Benjamin says, "This podcast..."
Not interested. If it's not Miles Benjamin, I'm not interested.
Not Miles Benjamin says, "This is majestic, graceful, beautifully sidestepping the tyrants, like Alison Pollock, that would look to thwart." Oh. And Mini Farrar says, in probably the highest praise any podcast has ever received, described the podcast as the Nick Mullins of podcasts.
Wow.
Wonderful.
Wow, that's just great.
Nick Mullins came up with another great Nick Mullins phrase I noticed in the Wasps-Saints game. He just said after the Rob Miller try, "That's box office Wasps."
Did you hear his comment on Elliot Daly when he slotted a 60-yard penalty?
What did he say?
He called him a long-distance lorry driver.
Wow.
So he started by saying long distance and then was looking for something to go with that and could only come up with lorry driver.
How about...
And Ben Kay and Austin Healey found it very amusing.
How about long-distance artillery sheller?
that is much more accurate description of what he does.
Yeah.
Yes.
Long distance artillery sheller.
Yes.
Yeah. I reckon I'm going to jump straight into the action, boys. Anthony Watson's red on Friday night for Bath against Saracens. Discuss.
Wow, interesting.
Wow, opening it up for the forum. What's your take on it, Jay?
My take is, it is the right decision.
Okay.
If you've listened to previous podcasts, you've probably heard of Payne Gates. This was the horrible injustice meted out to Jared Payne.
Horrendous.
Again, the same cheating Alex Goode threw himself on his head just to win a red card.
From 6 foot in the air.
From 6 foot in the air into the ground.
Dived head first, 6 foot into the air to give Jared Payne a red card a few minutes into the Ulster Saracens quarter-final of the Heineken Cup a few years ago.
Vile and cowardly. But this is the big difference to me. I wasn't expecting that in the Ulster game. It was relatively new that no one was allowed to touch anyone in the air. And it wasn't really recognised so clearly. But now it's undisputable. If you touch someone in the air and they fall on their shoulder, or and we'll come back to that in a second, that it has to be a red card. Now, there were some mitigating circumstances. I don't think he was pushed into Alex Goode, but I do think that when Ashton blocked into him, it stopped him from jumping up, because you can't jump with the block. So I don't think Ashton pushed him into Alex Goode, but I do think he prevented elevation. And for that reason, I wouldn't have given him a red, I'd given him a yellow.
Interesting. What's your take, Tim? Because I've consulted the law book for this one.
You see, the law book, I would probably say, and this is kind of my issue, of my takeaway from it all, the law book, well done referee and TMO, you made the correct decision. But I don't like it. Because just put the law book to one side for 1 second.
Okay, sliding it aside.
Put any sort of watching it from the outside or imagining what you'd do if you were the referee, put all that to one side. Tell me, as a rugby player on the pitch, what your mindset would be if you were on the field and watching that. And you just think as a player.
How do you mean? As in the player attacking the ball?
So what, all of so it. The whole thing. The whole thing.
So for me, I think Jay made a very good point before. Because it is such an important thing and it's so prevalent at the moment, that the way that it's being officiated, Watson should have actually taken a yard off, because he was always going to be second to the ball. Even if he didn't collide with Ashton, he was going to be second, so he should have taken a yard off and tackled Goode as he hits the deck. So I don't actually have much sympathy. I think this will be a good learning point for Watson.
Well, it depends. If he's going to jump, and I think he was going to jump, he was shaping to jump, but as soon as you're off balance, you can't jump, and that's why he went into him. But he was not blocked into him. I think that's an important distinction.
So my first point. So half consulting the law book and half my intent. There was two points that were made a lot on Twitter when people were arguing against this. The first one was it should have been a penalty against Ashton. Now, the law states shouldn't be a penalty against Ashton. If Ashton had changed his line or moved into him or pushed him or tripped him or anything like that, it would be a penalty, but he didn't.
Yeah.
He ran a lazy line,
but
he maintained on course.
But, Phil, what about duty of care? Because I think that's a legitimate duty of care issue, though.
But he's not that's not in the law book.
But there's a
duty of care to Watson or to Goode?
To Goode.
From Ashton.
Yeah, but Ashton can't predict what's going to happen.
So,
Watson can't predict what's going to happen by jumping or running into him or that kind of thing.
No. The Ashton thing is okay. Mm-hmm. So that shouldn't be taken into consideration. The other point, which had me banging my head against the wall, was the number of people who said there was no intent, it was a mistake, it wasn't deliberate, therefore it shouldn't be a penalty or shouldn't be a red card.
That's kind of not the point, is it?
That is completely not the point. Intent is irrelevant. The referee is not there to judge on intent. What is relevant is law 10.4E, a player must not tackle an opponent whose feet are off the ground, and 10.4I, which is a player must not tackle nor tap, push or pull an opponent jumping for the ball in a line-out or in open play.
Yeah.
There's been further clarification from World Rugby. It was last June ahead of the World Cup. And that further clarification, it sets out very, very clearly what happens. And if it's an unfair challenge, there's no contest, and if the player lands on the head, neck or shoulder,
right,
it's a red card.
Good.
So, according to the letter of the law, this is exactly right. Now, I can see your point, Tim, but when you say have a little bit of empathy, because it was because of the consequence of bumping into Ashton, you could possibly argue to downgrade it to a yellow card. But then the problem with that is it creates inconsistency. At the moment, there is complete consistency across the law.
And you know what? At Dead Ball Area on Twitter made that. That's the point that in all the conversations, we had a lot of it going on Twitter. The one that I want to highlight there, or there's a couple actually, but Dead Ball Area said, you either have empathy, which is what I was calling for, try and think about what the players are doing. It was absolutely no intent. Accidents happen and you can't.
Yes.
You can't legislate against accidents.
Yeah.
Or you either have empathy or consistency. And given the choice, personally, I would have officiating, which is more in the spirit and more in the feel of what players are trying to do. And even if that means at the expense of a bit of consistency.
Okay.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I think rugby should be one of the hardest games on earth to be red carded. It should be almost like you'd almost have to commit an act of genocide if you want a red card. Because, you know, we all talk about inclusivity, but we don't really mean it. You know, we want players to act a certain way, et cetera, et cetera. But actually, the last thing you want is players being red carded for what I can see is a misdemeanor. It is a dangerous game. I want it to stay a dangerous game because that's what makes it fun. So I've got a bit of a problem with the card in general, but I also have two massive problems. First was Ashton. Not his block, but when Goode lands on his head, he celebrates. Have you seen that?
No,
he throws one arm up in the air, and goes hooray, kind of thing. And then he pulls the hand down, and goes oh no, and then runs over and pushes Watson, which was absolutely hysterical.
You sure he wasn't appealing?
I read it as an appeal and then a push.
I saw it. Mate.
I like yours better, JB.
This is the difficulty with judging intent, isn't it? Because you're judging that he intended to appeal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm thinking now he's either saying hurrah or huzzah or something like that. Something rousing. Now, the second one was the communication with the ref. Jeff.
Yes, Jeff.
Now, can I just clarify something, Jeff? My head and my shoulder is my head and my shoulder. It's not landing on the head and the shoulder area. You're just adding extra words for no extra value.
The TMO said, he clarified, he said, was it on the head or the shoulder? And the TMO said, well, it was the shoulder. And he went, yeah, so the head and the shoulder, yeah?
Yeah.
No, it's worse than that, Tim. It was head and shoulder area. Now, my head and my shoulder aren't in my head and my shoulder area. They're in my head and my shoulder. If there was a wasp flying around that location, that would be the head and the shoulder area. So I really want them to stop this.
Yeah, I thought that was an unusual way because it was almost like the ref was trying to more towards a red card.
Yeah.
Because the head is obviously more dangerous. But according to the law clarification, it doesn't actually matter. It's the head, shoulder or neck. So it's any of those and it's deemed to be a red card.
Yep. So I don't really have a problem with it. I thought it could go either way, really.
Well, So I agree, I understand, right, that what's been laid out. And I read this message as well, said, read 100%. The brief from World Rugby is clear. Watson collided with a player in the air without having a view of or intention to go for the ball. His collision still caused the player to dangerously crash to ground. Red was therefore the right call.
Yeah.
Intention isn't taken into account.
Yeah.
Just like Warburton's red in the 2011 World Cup.
Scandal.
which I understand. So by the letter of the law, it works.
Yeah.
My point is a bit more, and going back to last week's podcast where I was talking about feelings and like hippie rugby versus statistics and fact. And all I'm saying is that's fine. And I accept that by the letter of the law and by the standards that have been set and the precedents that have been set, that's a red card. However, and this is the phrase I used, and I feel a bit more like JB on today's podcast. I feel like I'm the one where I would have expected JB to be. Robotic letter of the law application of rules will lead to a slow decline towards
soccer-esque
decision making.
Yeah.
And it's empathy that keeps rugby.
I tend to agree with that. It's like the more rigid the rules and the higher the stakes, the more, not litigious behaviour, but the more behaviour you see to circumvent the rules. You see it all the time now, whether it be diving on the floor or... I'll give you one. Chris Cook. Now, I've got two words for Chris Cook. Petulant brat.
Who's more petulant, Ashton or Cook? That's a good question.
Cook by a million miles. I mean, watching Cook, I was on the edge of my seat all night because every time he gets near a ruck, he can't help but put his feet on someone. Every time.
Yeah, he did a little tap dance on Mako, didn't he?
Yeah, but they're not like... you can't stamp anymore. You can't rake. So putting your foot on someone is just, it's silly. It's really silly. And then he'll stand bolt upright, face the referee, and scream in his face. And he does it multiple times, ignoring the ball. Mm-hmm. I saw him do this a few weeks ago. And he's just, he's going to cost his team. I mean, he did cost his team. Was that because of the tip tackle?
Yes. Yeah. So yellow, already down to 14 men, and then shortly after he gets a yellow card for a tip tackle.
It's not going to be long until this lad gets yellow carded just for the way that he talks to refs. Mm. Guarantee you.
Well, I hope so. Yeah. That's what I'd like to see a bit more of. Because, like, again, like, no one who... No ex-football pro watching the game now, some of those legends of the game from the 60s or 70s, none of them did what footballers do now. Fans didn't do what footballers do now. You don't notice it happening. It doesn't. You don't wake up one day and suddenly the game's different.
Yeah,
You wake up 10 years from now and go, what has happened? And I'm looking 10 years down the line and thinking, where will rugby be?
And do you know what's worse, Tim? In football, at least they could blame it on long-haired foreigners. But in the Premiership, there's not a single Frenchman playing. We can't even blame it on the French.
So, no Brazilians.
No Brazilians, no nothing.
There's a couple of Argentinians, I guess.
Yeah, but they're not the worst for diving.
Blame it on Iurta. We'll blame it all on Marcus Iurta.
And Marcelo Bosch.
Marcus Iurta is a disgrace. He's
the root of the problem.
Well, let us know what you think at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. I understand both sides of the view, but maybe mine's a little bit more of a hippie-ish and not actually a sort of based on fact or...
Yeah, do you know what? I think the concept behind reffing should be like an old boys club. So do you know, like, oh, he's done something wrong, we'll cover that up, slap on the arse, off you go. We want old boys club standard of reffing. We don't want everyone to be accountable all the time. And we certainly don't want things like transparency.
Or consistency.
No.
I'm going to distance myself from those comments.
Marcus Watson's comment was brilliant, wasn't it? His tweet.
I've got no idea.
Marcus Watson, brother of Anthony, tweeted, "Get him off, he's rubbish anyway."
it is funny when rugby brothers go at it on Twitter. John Fox Davis, brother of... Sorry, not John Fox Davis. What's his name? Jonathan Davis' brother.
Oh, yeah, the other one.
The Fox.
Yeah.
Anyway, him. Jonathan Davis tweets that he's late getting a plane back from Claremont, to which his brother texts, "The family won't miss you anyway."
Did you see? Sam Warburton's dad's tweet this week?
No.
After
no?
Cardiff had a great win away at the Scarlets,
it did.
And I think is it Jez Warburton, his old man, tweeted to say he deserves some extra pocket money after a performance like that.
Because usually on his tweets aimed at having only one son. Despite having twins.
My favourite son playing for Wales again.
My only son. Scratch that, deleted tweet.
I think we should definitely say and that in no way does the discussion about Anthony Watson's red card or whatever, or Chris Ashton or Chris Cook or anything else, take away from the fact that it had nothing to do with the outcome of that match. Saracens were dominant.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I said this to Phil yesterday. I'm going to say it to you, Tim. I want you to disagree with me and argue. Alex Goode, the best all-round rugby player in the Premiership.
Best all-round. He's got a good kicking game. Mm-hmm. His handling skills are outstanding.
Aren't they just? He is so good.
He's an intelligent player. I don't know what it is. I don't know if there's an analogy with this, but basically I think he's the best. He is up there as the best players in the Premiership, but it just for some reason he can't translate that to international rugby.
Well, I don't think he's really had much of a chance yet, but every time I watch him, I'm more impressed. His footwork is good. His running is good. Just everything about him is
distribution skills.
Player.
I would if we had Tuilagi in the England back line with a bit more of a battering ram, then I can see an argument for the distribution skills of Alex Goode.
I can also see that argument. I've said it before, if you're picking a Lions team, if you have Jamie Roberts in the centre, that's almost an argument to pick Alex Goode because his distribution skills and the way he comes in and acts as a second receiver and a second kicker as well is superb.
Yeah. He really makes Saracens tick because he can just enter the line anywhere. He can attack from anywhere. Just a brilliant, brilliant player.
He does have the advantage of playing in that Saracens team, which is absolutely exceptional.
Yeah, but even when he's playing in bad Saracens teams during the Six Nations, we saw him out in USA.
Yeah,
and he just makes everything. You know, he just makes everything, everyone around him better.
Again,
caveat, that was against London Irish, but
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, that was against. I mean, Brad Barrett plays superbly for Saracens. Mm. Absolutely superb, integral to the way they play. But I wouldn't want him back in an England shirt.
No,
but there is more argument for Alex Goode to be in an England shirt, definitely.
Yeah, and on form, you'd have to think he's going to make a Premiership team of the year without a doubt. He's been outstanding.
Yeah, he won't be far off, certainly.
I wonder whether, but of course, we mentioned if Manu Tuilagi is in the England team in the centre, but of course, that's not happening now because Ben Teo is going to be.
I think that's guaranteed now, isn't it?
Right, so the story broke this week that it looked like Eddie Jones is going to pick Ben Teo for the England tour to Australia. And I'd say it's one of those where there's so much speculation about this that it's more likely going to happen than not.
Well, the way I'm reading it is, we know that Eddie Jones has had one-on-one chats with a huge number of players, like players that weren't involved in the squad, players like Luther Burrell, like Tom Wood, like Tom Youngs, Danny Cipriani, Wigglesworth, guys who aren't there but need to do a little bit extra and could potentially be on the radar if circumstances change. I'm reading into this that it's kind of like that chat. It's you're kind of on our radar, you're not a definite, but we're considering it and here's what you'd have to do to get in. But the way that it's been reported in the press is very much like you say, Tim, that he's almost on the plane.
Yeah, I thought he had 50 caps by Wednesday.
Well, come on, JB, right? So,
well, I need to say it.
If it happens, then you have got a little bit of humble pie to eat because I've been mentioning Ben Teo in
no
England terms
way.
For a while and you've been...
I'm not even sure you've seen Ben Teo play. We will wait and see.
I've made the humble pie. It's in a dish. You can warm it up in a few weeks.
my whole thing about this, I would be pretty surprised because I've not seen a huge amount of Ben Teo. I've seen him play for Leinster quite like half a dozen times, say, and he's a big boy. He's a strong ball carrier. He's got a decent offloading game. I don't think he's got a great distributing or he's not a great kicking game. For me, he's very similar to Luther Burrell, who's already been in and around the England squad. He's 3 or 4 years younger than Ben Teo. And so it's kind of like, why would you... You've got 1A and 1B, one of whom who's already been involved in England. Why would you change? I'm not sure.
I think I know the answer to that.
Okay.
And that is that it's actually nothing to do with Eddie Jones. It's the guys at board level in the RFU have seen how well things are going with Eddie Jones and realise that when things go wrong, they're going to need a scapegoat and a code-crossing centre.
Perfect.
It's like the perfect scapegoat. In fact, I expect Worcester will play him at six.
Yeah, Josh Charney's going to flirt between number two and number 15.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard.
That's an interesting signing, isn't it, for Sale Sharks, Josh Charnley?
He's a great signing. I've been saying for a long time I'd like to see Josh Charnley play rugby union. I think he's got all the attributes, nice, powerful, very, very quick. And most importantly, he plays on the wing, which is where the majority of success has happened. So,
yeah,
really good signing, actually.
It's interesting. I seem to think of him as very similar. It might just be the tattoos and the crap hair, but very similar to Jack Knoll.
He's got
he's got a similar build, very similar height and weight.
Has he really? I thought he's a lot bigger than Jack Knoll.
No.
Is he not about
6'2"? No, he's not. He's quite slight. Well, he's got like pipe cleaner legs and
I've seen him wearing ridiculously tight jeans.
He's very very similar height and weight. He's in league he plays centre and wing, same as Jack Knoll.
Mm-hmm.
One thing he does as well is he kicks sticks.
Yes, he does.
And his try scoring rate. Look on his Wikipedia page now. According to this, he's scored 149 tries in 147 appearances for Wigan Warriors.
The problem is with rugby league,
wow,
as great as it is, and as wonderful as the Super League is, the fact of the matter is, only about five people play it. So it's relatively easy for athletes that shouldn't really be very good at professional sport to get right to the top of rugby league. Now, there are some very, very noticeable exceptions to this rule. But for the majority of players that come from league to union, it goes downhill rapidly. And it even goes downhill when they return back to league. Lee Smith, Carl Price.
Lee Smith is a great example.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of some more now. But I
Jason Robinson, Israel Folau.
Yeah, well, yeah,
Ralph
well,
that, Thorne.
That's different, isn't it? Because that's NRL. So in that case, you've got the opposite situation where everybody plays rugby league and not very many play rugby union. So you will get Brad Thorne and Israel Folau. But from the Super League itself, I don't think the talent pool is as rich as we think.
It is an interesting argument because you look at the towns that play, like Warrington, 100,000 people.
Yeah.
St. Helens, 80,000. Like Wigan, 80,000. Like they're small towns.
Exactly.
Hull, Huddersfield, Castleford.
He's definitely got a little bit of X factor there, Josh Charnley, so it'll be interesting.
It will. I'm looking forward to it. It'll be very interesting.
But before we move on and discuss any more games, I think we should do this because one of the things that's been bubbling away online for a good week or so now is how dreadful the Batman versus Superman movie is.
I know, I've not seen this yet. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it, but I've seen how horrific the reviews are. but I mean, I don't understand what the plot could be because it seems like the worst mismatch ever. Like, one's a mortal man and one's a superhuman.
Yeah. Always confuses me with Superman. Why does he strain when he lifts a planet? I mean, you can either lift a planet or you can't lift the planet. What, is it nearly too heavy for him?
It's right on the edge of what he can lift.
Well, he can only lift one and a half planets. Or can
yeah,
he just
and he
lift
strains just as much when he's, like, catching a bus and putting it back on a bridge.
Yeah, you know, either or, I guess. Yeah, it's a horrific mismatch.
But anyway, the film's meant to be terrible. And it got us, particularly you, JB, thinking about undynamic duos. Duos that on paper look like they should be, to quote Nick Mullins, box office, but actually turn out to be more flop. Undynamic duos.
Yeah, I've been thinking long and hard. And actually, most of them seem to pop up in Gloucester, which is relatively interesting. Got two from Gloucester, got one from the Ospreys. So I'll kick off. The best duo that I've ever heard of, who actually turned out to be absolutely terrible, Hook and Henson.
Ah.
On paper, looked superb.
Intelligent playmaker, like Henson, great defence
exactly.
as well.
Exactly.
Oh, that's, I mean, that. Yeah, you'd think that's going to be tries galore for people outside them.
Absolutely horrendous. We didn't win a single thing. I'm not even sure that they weren't a Pro 12. And if you can't win the Pro 12, really, I mean, you've got to be thinking of a new career.
What about a duo, same position then, but very, very different style of play, but undynamic duo, Barrett and Burgess in the centre for England?
Ooh, that's interesting, because I'm not sure you'd call them like the... That's not a box office pairing.
Well, they both... So before that pairing, they both won their respective leagues the previous season. Like Burgess won the NRL with the Roosters and... Barrett had won the Premiership with Saracens.
But actually, on paper, you had a big question mark about that already at the start, didn't you? So, yeah.
Yeah,
maybe that doesn't qualify on that one.
So, one that I had, it's not really box office, but on paper, one of the heaviest possible prop pairings imaginable.
Go on.
For Sale Sharks a couple of years ago.
Oh yes!
Avion Lewis Roberts and
Tony
Buckley. nearly 45 stone of man.
This can't go wrong, can it?
This must destroy everything in front of it. And no, it was penalties galore, reversing lights. Neither of them. It's like having two Tom Francises on your pitch.
Tony Buckley was the most head-scratching player I have ever seen. I mean, it was a mystery to me how the man made an actual career.
Oh, Steve Diamond signed him for a lot of money.
Did he?
Yes. Ugh. A lot of money.
Steve Diamond doesn't get many things wrong, but... I'll give you one very, very similar. Hibbard and Afoa. An All Black and a Six Nations champion.
And Lions.
Starting Lion. And a World Cup winner. sadly, they didn't check that they scrimmaged the same way. In fact, they scrimmaged completely differently to each other.
Yeah, that was a bad one. That was a bad one.
I've got another one as well for Bath this season. On paper, how good did it look that they were strengthening with Matawalu and Priestland?
Right, okay. Right, no.
yes, bringing Matawalu in. So Matawalu and Ford, two of the most exciting like nine and tens in the game.
Matawalu, yes, I get excited.
And Priestland, on paper they brought in because they thought we've got an international class fly half when our international fly half isn't there, and he was never there.
I have seen car crumple zones that are more resistant to contact than Reece Priestland.
I remember watching him against the Springboks a few years ago, and he was cowering. He was like crouching down and covering his head when Backies Botha was running at him.
I will give you that. It is box office, and I suppose if you look at his pay packet, you go, this guy must be world class. Nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing. That's probably the best one yet. Priestland and Matawalu.
Come on, then beat that then.
Have I got one more?
You have got one more that you mentioned to me.
I can't remember.
The saviours of London Irish.
Who's
going to steer the London Welsh ship?
Oh, yes, of course. England international, one of the youngest capped England players and All Black World Cup winner, Piri Whipu and Ollie Barkley. Who's going to want to play against those two boys? This is lethal. Oh, it is lethal. You've gone down.
And outside them,
Tim Molnar and Tom May.
Yeah, Tom May, Northampton, Newcastle, England and Toulon centre.
Wow. My favourite ever interview of rugby, directors of rugby, was Justin Burnell, and he was in like a five-way discussion with others. And I think just out of sympathy, one of the others said, oh, well, you won't want to go up against that back line, Whipu, Barkley, Molnar and May. I was like, I absolutely would. I absolutely would.
What about the, Gloucester had that transitional period where they had a frightening pack back in the Phil Vickery days.
Yes.
And then they sort of went off the boil a bit. So I can't remember who was the head coach at the time. The Welsh chap, was it? I'm not sure.
Nigel someone.
Nigel Davies, maybe.
Yeah, or Evans.
Anyway,
or
I know what I'll do. I'll spend a load of money on my second row. I'll get England international, but well over it, past it. Can no longer do the job, Tom Palmer. And the ruck inspector.
The anchor.
The physical second rows ever, James Hudson.
That was a similar time when they had the two winger, the two former rugby league wingers.
Oh, yeah, no, they're the worst pairing of all time. That's it.
Carl Price and Leslie Vinicolo.
That's the worst pairing of all time.
The most undynamic duo.
Yeah.
They were both enormous, absolutely massive, scored loads of tries in rugby league, and then came over to Union and did nothing.
Yeah, because they saw it work at Leicester with Rambini and, what's his name? Tuilagi.
Yeah.
And they thought, well, we'll just do exactly the same thing. No, horrific.
So Carl Price went to Gloucester in 2006 after a pretty successful career with Bradford. So 2006, he was at Gloucester. How old is he now?
Oh, I'm going to say he is 31. And I'm going to say he played at Wigan. And then he probably went to... I want to say somewhere like Wakefield.
So he was originally at Bradford. He's only 29 now.
Oh my God, he's younger than me.
So he had... Oh God, this is ridiculous. Yeah, he's only 29, he's younger than me.
Right, so what's he doing with his life?
Dewsbury in...
Working in Asda.
Asda Dewsbury.
Yeah.
Yeah. God. He's 6'7 and 19 and a half stone.
He's 6'7"?
He's enormous.
I had no idea. I don't think he's a winger though, is he?
Bigger than the Dolo.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think he's a winger. Like his brother's Leon Price is a very good standoff.
Yeah.
What exactly he is? What is he, Phil?
Listed as a wing centre. And I remember when he was playing for Bradford, he was a wing. He started.
Was he?
Yeah.
Huh. Anyway, that is definitely the worst duo. The best worst duo.
Since Batman and versus Superman.
Yeah, and the impressive thing about that, they could win the best worst duo and they could win the worst duo. So, dual awards there.
Getting back to the rugby, did you see Wasps Saints?
Yes.
Yes.
That's pretty much in the Premiership. That's the top three pretty much settled. Not necessarily in that position, but those three will make it to the playoffs.
Yeah, the gap between third place and fourth place just looks too big to bridge now.
And third and fifth, but yeah.
Saracens are now confirmed in the top four.
They are.
Northampton can't catch them. From that game, talking points, Wasps, Miller was superb, deserved man of the match, two tries.
Mm-hmm. It was, and interesting that the sort of Kirtley Beale chat has piped down a little bit, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, that's because they're making cap room or room full stop for David Pocock, I imagine. Well, and then we heard he might go to Bristol. That can't be right, can it?
Surely not.
That'd be a travesty.
There's also talk he'll just do a Jamie Roberts and play varsity.
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be interesting and not play rugby. Because he's one calendar year rather than one, because it's Super Rugby is missing, so he's missing one calendar year rather than, which spans two Premier seasons.
Oh, imagine how much he'll clean up at uni. Oh my word.
What, like gardening and stuff? You mean...
No, Jacqueline. Jacqueline over the ball.
Oh, right, yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I meant.
The poor old varsity fans in... I say poor old, I mean, there's nothing poor about them. Watching Oxford versus Cambridge. First of all, they get Jamie Roberts, who only makes 3 yards. And if you don't know about rugby, you're not going to enjoy watching David Pocock play. If you're just a complete newbie, you just see this guy ruining rucks. Yeah. And, you know, every time he goes near a ball, there's a whistle go off.
You'll appreciate the pure specimen of a rugby player that he is.
Yes.
Yep. I guess you will. So I've heard Bristol is the latest one, but I hope it's Wasps.
Wasps would be very good to replace George Smith, who's now confirmed to Japan.
Is he going to Japan?
I told
again?
You that last week, boys.
Yeah, confirmed.
Did you get that off Neil Fissler?
Definitely not off him.
That's where I get all of my information from.
He gets all his information off me. So in a roundabout way, you get all your information off me.
That makes sense. Watching George Smith play today, there's no way he should be going anywhere other than a top level club. No way, unless he just wants to fill up his bank account a little bit more. But he was so good today.
Oh, he was superb.
First receiver, stealing ball.
Two assists, or certainly one assist, and then very instrumental in Miller's first try.
Yeah, he's one of those players it's just a privilege to watch, quite frankly.
Yes. Yeah.
Our mate Nick Mullins moving across to Exeter, who also were pretty much nailed on for their first playoffs. He made a great tweet, obviously reference to the podcast as well and all the talk we've given the Exeter cocktap. He just said, after a hat-trick each, Thomas Waldrum and Ollie Woodburn must be struggling to walk today. Ooh, hashtag cocktap.
That's going to hurt. It's going to hurt.
Now that, so it's not like, so after a really vigorous cock-tapping, you're going to be like a little bit sore. It's not like they ease off after the second and third tries. They only get more. On Waldrum's third try, as he slid over the line, he got up onto...
He got
up onto his hands and knees. And while he was on his hands and knees, someone came like a doggy-style cock tap between the legs.
It's going to get to such a situation soon that they're going to be offloading before they score tries. Straight running, they're going to call over their mates.
No, you take looking for contact 5 yards from the try line.
Oh dear. We always get a tweet from Exeter Chiefs official account as well whenever Thomas Waldrum scores a try, because we used to talk about Thomas Waldrum a lot, and ever since then we've sent them they send us a tweet toot toot for every try. They actually sent us a tweet yesterday saying toot 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 toot.
Yeah. Good. It's 5-3, 5-2 games for Waldrum.
Who is top
for a combined 4.5 yards?
Who is top try scorer at the moment in the Premiership?
Thomas Waldrum.
Is 13. He?
Yeah.
So 2 years on the bounce. I can't believe Leicester let him go. I really can't. Although I can't believe Leicester didn't use him in the right way.
Did you see, interestingly, in that match, so Woodburn and Waldrum hat tricks. Do you see who got man of the match?
No.
Jack Noel.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Playing at fullback.
Yeah, because who went off in the first 5 minutes? Dolman.
Dolman.
Dolman went off after 5 minutes. And Short came on.
So who is the smart money on now to get fourth place? Leicester?
Leicester are there. Leicester are 4 points clear of Northampton now.
And Leicester play Northampton. That's just a massive game. But I think it's at Leicester, so...
Yeah, and anyone who's then beneath Northampton?
Quinn's 1 point.
And then Sale.
Yeah, Quinn's 1 point off and then 4 points to Sale.
Who have a game in hand.
So Sale aren't going to...
If they win their game in hand, they're on the same number of points as Quinn's.
Yeah, 1 point off Northampton.
And Quinn's are how far off?
5 points off top four.
Do you think it's Saints or Leicester?
It's got to be one of those two.
Judging on Leicester's comeback performance, I know Gloucester were leading for quite a lot of the game, but some of the rugby that Leicester played was absolutely superb. Tuilagi looks like he's back to his best.
Yeah.
Beetham and Tolusa Vianu and Gonover are tearing it up out wide. I think Leicester should claim that fourth spot.
Yeah, Leicester definitely the more intimidating prospect for the top three. I don't think Northampton offer any kind of threat whatsoever to those top clubs.
No, I would agree with that. I think Leicester could possibly turn over the top three, but I wouldn't say that Northampton could.
Although what I would say again is, when I look at teams and where they could be a few years from now, Northampton have got some frighteningly good young crop of players. They're like their four props.
Yeah.
Their four frontline props are all like 22 or under.
Yes, they are. And this is an interesting one because I don't think they're going to keep these young props. Sometimes it's a bit of a curse that the props get recognised too early, too soon.
Yeah.
Because, for instance, Hill is on the bench. Now, Hill's agent is going to be knocking on the door saying, you need to pay this lad more because, well, he's an England international and he's a prop. Yeah. Now, Northampton are going to have to concede to that to a certain extent. But then how do you make the money spread for him and Brooks and the next guy and the next guy? It's going to be really difficult to keep them all. In fact, Northampton, it would have been better for them if Jones never picked Hill in the first place.
Yeah, maybe. Now, I would actually like to see Hill having a starting place somewhere. I'd love to see. He needs a boy his age, 2021, he needs game time.
I don't think it really matters that much because there's so much rotation.
Well, there was a lot of talk when Henry Thomas...
Henry Thomas.
And I can see this. There's a lot of talk that Henry Thomas played too much. Because Sale had players like Tony Buckley who were useless, he ended up playing every single week. At the age he was, there's a lot of talk that that's had a negative effect on his...
I watched Henry Thomas on Friday and I couldn't be less impressed, actually. I mean... since leaving Sale, I feel he's just gone downhill at a rate of knots. He was so impressive at Sale for patches, to be fair. But in Bath, he's just a penalty machine.
Yeah,
I think he might even be the most yellow carded player in the entire Premiership
this season. I think he is. That was mentioned very recently.
And for a man that doesn't play that much, it's it's not a particularly good statistic.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, not very impressed.
Yeah. What was I going to pick up on? Tweet we got to at Rugby Podcast from Tom James, who says, how can you knock the Pro 12? And he's mainly aiming this at you, JB.
Oh, okay.
Garlets v Blues, there was more talent on show than in a Victoria's Secrets catalogue.
Yeah.
That's a self-promotion from Tom James to say that, isn't it?
The Tom James.
He started on the wing for Cardiff.
Well, no, I'm not sure, unconfirmed reports, whether that was just someone who happened to be called Tom James or whether
I saw
it was
that tweet, actually. Made me giggle a little. I actually saw some of this game, and it was interesting. But to be fair, it's kind of like watching two under-19s teams, two development teams. It was good to watch, but it wasn't... I wouldn't class it as particularly serious rugby. A few interesting things from it. Sam Warburton has not only lost his international seven shirt, but he's also lost his club seven shirt now. So he's
starting at six.
Playing at six for Cardiff. There was a lot of young talent on display. The Scarlets fly half, who's very, very highly rated. And also, it was quite interesting to see Reece Patchell play, because I have no idea what the intention is for him. They're going to bring him over to Scarlets to play 10, but Scarlets look like they've already got a good 10. It was interesting-ish, but it doesn't really compare to the Premiership, unfortunately.
I'd say that there's probably a better adjective or whatever. There's a better word to describe the Ulster-Connacht game than interesting, I would have thought, Phil.
Important, vital win if Ulster harbour any ambition of reaching the top four.
And did they win?
They did win. They beat Connacht, according to JB, the only real rugby team.
Exactly.
So for a non-rugby team to beat a real rugby team, that's
it's quite an achievement, isn't it?
It's a hell of an impressive result in my book.
Yeah. This was the best weekend of Pro 12 outside of the derbies over Christmas, which is a really good weekend or couple of weekends of Christmas. But it kind of, to me, also highlights exactly what the weakness is in the Pro 12.
Johnny Sexton also showed up really well after, you know, we gave him loads of stick in his last full game when he's playing for Ireland and being a bit of a coward with his appealing and all the
very
rest of it.
Very cowardly indeed. Didn't like it one bit.
But he's a hell of a player.
He's a hell of a player and he scored every one of the points as Leinster to beat Munster.
And Johnny Holland for Munster scored every one of their points. It was the Sexton versus Holland show in a 16-13
thriller.
Victory for Leinster.
Nice. There is actually a real chance in the Pro 12 that only one Welsh team will qualify for Europe.
Well, they're guaranteed one spot, aren't they, for the Champions Cup?
And I think that's basically what's going to happen.
So there'll be probably three Irish. So everyone's guaranteed one. So you get one from four: one Scottish, one Irish, one Welsh, one Italian.
Yeah,
and then the top, the next two kind of runners up. Get the spot. So if it finished tomorrow, it would be Connacht and Ulster would be those two taking those final spots. So there would be only one Welsh.
Quite incredible.
There's an extra place for whichever league wins the Challenge Cup.
Yes, that's a good point, actually. So Connacht have got a chance of that. I think Edinburgh still have a chance, and probably Gloucester, they normally go for that.
Yeah,
the winner of that gets a place in the Champions Cup by right.
Yeah.
Shall we do our predictions for next week? Are we?
Well, just quickly, let me just run through the this week's basketball scores as well.
Oh, please do.
The basketball scores: Lions 37, Crusaders 43.
Did anyone see that game?
Brumbies 23, Chiefs 48, Kings 33, Sun Wolves 28.
Did anyone see the Crusaders Lions game?
Yes, I did. Can I my observations on that, Phil? Before you jump in. All you saw in that game, executing two-on-ones, London Irish, watch and take notes.
Yes.
Forwards offloading the ball behind the game line. JB, this is why I talk so much about offloads and how devastating they are.
I love offloads.
But also, who gives a damn about defence?
I can't get on board with that one bit.
Oh, it was exciting. 80 points scored in a game. Very exciting.
No, it's mackerel fishing.
Hat trick for Ryan Ryan Crotty.
I'm a big game fisherman, not a mackerel fisher.
That McNichol looks a hell of a player, doesn't he?
Yeah, good turn of pace. And also, did you see the turn of pace on the Lions reserve hooker?
Van der Merwe.
Yeah, Armand van der Merwe. His try was incredible. Gassed in from about 40 metres.
I've also got another observation about Super Rugby, and that is our boys, the Jaguares. They were once again playing incredible rugby, gallant losers with nice stash. They are Scotland.
no, they are not. Right.
Good rugby, nice stash. Nice stash, but always gallant losers. That sounds
yeah. But they're hardly pasty and live on, you know, basic processed white food.
steak and red wine.
Only steak, red wine, absolute playboys. Nothing like Scotland. But I do get the analogy about playing good rugby and it not coming off. The biggest difference, though, would be Scotland are incredibly well coached. And I'm not sure these guys get coached at all. Right, you got your boots, boys. Yep, off you go. Maybe you'll beat this professional team. Maybe you won't.
Watching the Super Rugby, aka basketball, JB, I just thought that the play was razor sharp.
Oh, wow. Where could we be going from here? Oh, cornerstone. The razor for only the most chiseled jaws. Do you have your read, Tim?
I know what I'm doing with Cornerstone. I'm a fully signed up ambassador for them. I love it. So they're a mail order shaving company, which recently at the GQ Awards beat Gillette and beat Wilkinson Sword as the world's best razor, and justifiably so, because having used it and we all became customers of them, we know just how good they are. And because we were customers, we managed to swing a deal for ourselves and for you, with £10 off your very first order. And just for an order as little as £4, you get a free engraved with your initials or whatever else you choose aluminium shaft. And boys, there's no feeling like having that shaft in your hand, is
there? No, there really isn't. There really isn't.
Perfectly balanced shaft.
Yeah.
I like to wait until I'm on my own before I get my shaft in my hand.
Exactly. Straight to your door. No obligation. And also, do you know there's some things, aren't there? Like, you know, you should vacuum your carpet, but you Hoover it. You know, when brand names take over.
Yes, well, like a Tannoy system.
Exactly.
Like a jet ski.
I'm proud to say that I now cornerstone my face.
As do I, JB.
Yeah.
Always.
And me.
So you can get that £10 off your first order offer. Like JB says, you can try it for basically no money. And if you like it, you carry on. If not, hey, what have you lost? You've got yourself a free engraved shaft. So cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers.
Brilliant, Tim. Quite brilliant.
Great link, Tim. Great segue.
Beautiful stuff.
Do you know how segue is spelt?
No. I do know the inventor of the segue basically drove one off a cliff.
Yeah, he died on a segue.
Yes. So yeah. Segue.
Although that might be something different, I'm not sure.
Segway, the vehicle, is spelled S-E-G-W-A-Y.
Isn't there a U-E in it somewhere, Phil?
Yes, the radio parlance, S-E-G-U-E, is a very strange... It's Italian, apparently.
Cool story,
strange,
bro.
I think that's quite interesting.
Not really, no.
I guess you don't like spelling
not
very much.
Not so much.
Well, if anyone follows our Twitter account, you'll realise JB pays isn't a huge fan of spelling.
Too angry, usually. Too angry to spell.
Oh, did you see some of the April Fools that people came up with in the rugby world?
No.
I saw the Gilbert Balls one.
Yeah, the Gilbert, like, twice the size or three times the size ball that they're saying was going to be used at Wembley for the Saracens Quins match or later this month.
Nice, nice.
There was also the video saying that Alistair Kellock has been appointed as the referee for the Pro 12 final after retiring from playing. He was on a fast track training system, including vigorous eye assessment by Specsavers. That's when I realised it was a. Well, no, I realised pretty early on that it was a joke, but.
I'd have fallen for that one.
Jay, there's a picture of Jacques Berger holding the proposed balls.
Oh, wow. He looks mighty fine there.
They are enormous.
Rugby next week?
Rugby next week.
Yep. Let's do our predictions and then then wrap it up. I think.
We'll do that. What I will say is I'll put it on our agenda for the future. And I know we've talked about it at least once in the past, but I think we should, having seen the rugby this weekend, I think we should put the global season and back on our agenda for discussion. We've talked about it many times before, but I'm really enjoying the rugby this last couple of weeks.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, here's. Here's a great demonstration of what good conditions can do to rugby. Jamie Roberts this week.
Uh-oh.
How many metres did he make?
Three. Three times the amount of carries that he's had.
Let me just get the official stats, because it was, if anything shows exactly what perfect weather or what better weather can do, it's Jamie Roberts' ball carrying. He carried 12 times and made...
12 times 12.
So it should be 36.
36. I'm going to say it's a little bit drier. He did 37 yards.
92 metres.
Wow.
What?
92 metres. It was against Newcastle at home. Quinns did have a bit of a field day. But that's incredible.
That's a good day's work.
Yeah, that's a hell of
that's
a day's
three
work.
Three good day's work, JB.
Did he score?
Yeah, it is 3 days' work. It's 3 weeks worth of work for Jamie Roberts.
And did he score?
He didn't. Tim Visser scored a couple. Marlon Yard, Joe Merchant, Jack Clifford and Joe Gray all got on the score sheet.
Wow, sounds like an absolute hammering.
Hey, Phil, one other thing. Bob Bridle got in touch on Twitter at Rugby Podcast and said the halfback honeymoon is over, having just watched Greg Tonks miss a few kicks.
Yes.
It's a very... Danny Cipriani again with a man of the match performance.
Yeah, Sippers looks like he's got his head screwed back on. And it was a very brief honeymoon period for Greg Tonks, just the one game.
But we got a fortnight before we can talk up. So next week we'll make sure we give full, as is justified, full preview to London Newcastle London Irish, which is a monstrously big game.
Yes,
I imagine both sides will just be resting everyone up for the European weekend. But that's definitely not the case in the European Champions Cup, is it?
Not at all. Just before we do go on to the Champions Cup, I just want to mention something that was in the news. One of the most confusing breaking stories I've seen in a long time. Mm-hmm. Jamie Cudmore has announced where he's going next season.
Oh, yes. This is confusing.
So he's announced a four... So he's 38. He's announced a four-year deal with Oyonnax, of which he'll be a player coach for the first 2 years, and then after year two, in year three, he suddenly becomes head coach, and it's with from what I can gather, pretty much no experience of coaching. He's had a tiny bit with Canada previously, or tiny bit in Canada previously. So that is an astonishing...
Are you sure he's going to be head coach?
That is what it is, yeah.
Because it's going to be he may as well be head coach from day one, right? Because those first 2 years, he can do what he wants, because he knows he can fire the head coach in 2 years anyway. You know, he is basically the head man there.
Yeah, so it's a stay of execution for the current coach with his successor in the team.
Jamie, hit more rucks. Yeah, whatever. Show up to training on time. No.
I can only imagine that Jamie kind of enforced this contract on the club and I've had the president in a headlock or held up against...
I think it's the other way round. I think it's these French presidents don't really care so much for contracts. They'll basically give you whatever you want, and if they need to terminate it, they'll terminate it. Look at the behaviour of Bougelet, and I can't say the other guy's name, the guy
at Racing.
At Racing.
Yeah, very true.
I mean, they'll happily bring you on, and then they will say that...
Yes, Jamie, you can be head coach in 3 years. Oh, yeah, you can be player coach if you want. Actually, all they want is him to play for 2 years.
Exactly. Look at the way Quade Cooper's been treated in Toulon. He's been referred to as mere pâté.
Compared to foie gras.
Exactly. Yes. So, yeah, they will say anything to get you there, and once they're there, they've got enough money to do whatever they want with you. So there you go. That's what I think. That's what I suspect has happened.
Interesting. One to watch, for sure.
Yes, but the rugby this week, so it's back to European.
Yes,
European rugby.
Let's start with the Pro 12 teams.
Well, there is actually a Pro 12 game. Is this a rearranged fixture?
Not interested.
Zebra.
Ooh.
Host Glasgow Warriors.
Brilliant.
But on Friday night also, Sale Sharks host Montpellier.
Okay.
Which I might actually go to that.
Is this not Thursday night? Are you sure it's Friday?
I've got it listed here as Friday.
Oh, no, it's Friday, you're right.
Okay. Montpellier, very, very powerful club, actually.
Yeah, they're going very well in the top 14.
And what is this? Semis, quarters?
Quarters.
Right. So it's hard.
What would you do if you were Sale Sharks? Because Sale Sharks are unbeaten at home, but it's all about top six for them, isn't it? Or do you think they try and go for European Cup?
I think they do both. Yeah, I think they go for it. Yeah.
I think they go for it. Montpellier are a very handy team, as Harlequins found out a couple of times this season.
God, they really did.
Yeah.
They really did.
And Montpellier put 60 points on Racing Metro this season as well.
And they've got a big pack, so it's hard to see if Sale can sail their way to a win. That actually turned out to be a double joke there. No, I mean, can they do what Sale do? Scrimmage hard.
Oh, right.
Forward, not Sale. That'd be terrible.
Play like Sale to get a home win.
Correct, yeah. Sail away.
Sail away. Well, Sale at home are a different beast, and French teams away are a different beast. So this, I think it's interesting, really interesting.
It is. I might see if I can go to that game.
Yeah.
I'll get you in, Phil.
Oh, cheers, Tim. Cheers, Tim. And then on Saturday, we've got the other three European Challenge Cup games. So Gloucester host Dragons. Did you say Gloucester win?
Yeah.
Gloucester win. Yeah, they rested up a load of players against Leicester.
Yeah.
Just to keep them fresh for this, because it's their only realistic chance of Champions Cup next season is to win it.
Okay.
Grenoble host Connacht.
Okay.
Which I think Connacht might have a chance of winning that.
Yeah.
And then Quinns host London Irish, and you'd imagine that Irish will rest a few players.
Oh, more than a few.
Yes.
It'll be an academy team.
So Jamie Roberts, if he plays, he might make another 92 metres.
Yeah, exactly.
Off fewer than 30 carries, which would be his norm. Then in the Champions Cup...
Now we're talking. Thank you, Phil.
The real deal. It's an all-English Saturday. So Wasps host Exeter.
Oh,
I'm working that game. I'm really excited.
Oh, Tim, I'm jealous.
I'm reporting at that game. The only disappointment is that I wasn't there for the yellow Blazers this weekend.
you didn't get one. Me and Jay are wearing ours now.
Yeah.
Oh no.
I don't know which way this is going to go. I mean, if it rains, give me Exeter. If it's dry, give me Wasps.
Yeah, I can see that. Wasps at home.
Will they pack it out though?
Yeah, I think they'll do quite well.
I think they'll do pretty well.
Yeah, I think they'll get a decent turnout for that. So yeah, give me Wasps at home. Just.
I think Wasps at home. I was just that number 8 pickup about 65 minutes into that game from Nathan Hughes
with the kick.
And then he kicked it. Yeah, he is just a game. He's a match winner. So,
but then
I think big games like this.
Thomas Waldrum scoring 3 tries
from 4 yards combined.
True.
I'm gonna say Wasps as well.
And then the other one should be a little easier to predict. Saracens host Northampton.
Yeah.
Saracens by maybe a big score.
Yes, Saracens definitely.
So that means it must be an all French Sunday.
No, because there's 5 English teams and 3 French teams.
What?
So Leicester on Sunday.
So they've got Stade, haven't they? Again?
Oh yeah.
They host Stade for the 3rd time this season.
Great.
They've already beaten them twice, and Stade, despite winning last year, are currently 3rd from bottom in the top 14.
On earth goes on in that league?
Is it in France, Phil?
No, it's Welford Road.
Oh, my word.
So you have to say that is a Leicester Tigers win. And then the top qualifying team, Racing Metro, hosts the 8th qualifying team,
Racing Club Toulonnaise.
Toulon.
This is going to be monumental.
Yes.
Now, Quade Cooper inspired a Toulon victory last week.
Yes. And did they play Clermont today? So they've not really had an easy easy lead into this.
No, they're going to be battle-hardened, that's for sure.
Right, okay, so, I like this because on Friday night, one thing I noticed about Bath Saracens is exactly the amount of animosity between the two teams. And I think this game is going to be like that, but notched up several notches.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's... And also, like, you've got all the money flying around. You've got the two competing presidents. This is going to be brilliant.
You've got a load of Southern Hemisphere, like players who are used to playing like rugby championship and Tri Nations against each other.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to say Toulon win this, but I have no idea. I really don't know.
It was interesting to see that Dan Carter was rested for this.
Dean Carter.
Do you know, I saw a picture of him on Twitter at an English rugby club. One that I predict all 3 of us have visited and played at.
Broughton Park?
No, not Broughton Park.
Okay.
And played at?
We've all played at this rugby ground. He was pictured there on Friday.
Liverpool St Helens?
Very similar.
Is it in the northwest then, Phil?
It is in the northwest.
Preston Grasshoppers?
Liverpool St Helens?
It was Stockport Rugby Club.
Why?
No way.
Yeah, no idea why. I just saw this picture of him on Twitter saying...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Great to be in Manchester, which isn't quite...
That's not Manchester,
it's not,
Dan.
It's not Manchester.
That's definitely not Manchester.
But presumably he either got the Eurostar and then the train up the Virgin Pendolino up to Manchester.
Mind you, even Stockport's like a massive night out compared to like Dunedin or somewhere.
Well, I always thought that New Zealand was a province of Australia, so you know. oh wow!
Yeah,
and he didn't make it to the rugby dungeon. We're only down the road.
I know. He should have let us know.
Next time, Dan. Next time,
Dean.
Right. Well, I think that's it. Are there any... either of you two got anything else to do?
Are there any other games? There's the full Super Rugby fixture, obviously.
Okay, the only one thing I want to know then is who do the Jags play, and then we can go home.
Well, the Jags are going to lose because they're away at the Hurricanes.
Which means they're going to win.
they're not going to win away at the Hurricanes.
Do you not think?
No.
They're going to lose gallantly whilst playing suicide rugby.
Do you know what? Yeah. They were so close to beating the Chiefs. It strikes me as exactly the sort of game they would win.
Well, we'll see. 8:35 on Saturday morning. We will find out.
Fantastic.
Damn right. Hey, good work, gents.
Thank you very much, Tim.
Yeah. Thank you very much for listening. And from London, signing out, it's Tim. Nice one, JB.
Thank you, Tim.
yes, I can confirm there was audio recorded in this podcast.
Confirmation received from Philip.
Excellent, Phil. At Rugby Podcast, find us, tell your mates, leave us a review, and we'll see you next time. In a bit, boys.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.